And today we wrap up our series on the films nominated for this year's Academy Award for Best Documentary Feature. We've already talked about The Most Dangerous Man in America, Food, Inc., Which Way Home, and The Cove. Today, a film that focuses on the uprising in Myanmar in 2007, known as the Saffron Revolution. Citizens and monks dared to stage protests against the military government, which tried to prevent the outside world, and indeed the people of Burma, from seeing what was going on. But we saw it mostly because of a coalition of anonymous video journalists who risk prison and torture to smuggle images to news organizations around the world.
The Democratic Voice of Burma, or DVB, uses satellite TV and shortwave radio to send news of the protests around the world, and for the first time, back into Burma. About 30 reporters are on the ground working undercover. They film material, then smuggle it out of the country, doing so at great personal risk.
Award-winning director and writer Anders Ostergaard teamed up with the undercover journalist from DVB to produce Burma VJ, reporting from a closed country. If you'd like to talk with Anders Ostergaard about the film, the situation in Burma, or about the documentary film business, our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Anders Ostergaard joins us now from our studios at NPR West in Culver City, California. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today, and congratulations on the nomination.
Thank you very much.
You tell the story from the point of view of one of the DVB videographers. He goes by the name Joshua. How did you get together with him?
Well, it took a little while to figure out how to make a film on Burma, actually. We were considering all kinds of ways to do that for years, and then we realized there was this phenomenon of citizen journalists, which were all organized by a satellite station based in Oslo, Norway, which is next to where I live in Denmark. So basically, we were sent out to Bangkok in Thailand to meet several of these guys who were coming out for training, security training, camera training, and that's where I met Joshua.
And he is, his story is, well, it's a powerful one. Early in the film, he is arrested for using his camera to take a picture of a demonstration. And in those days, the demonstrations were one person, two people. This back in 2007.
Exactly. That's how it all started. These solo demonstrators, the usual suspects, if you like, who would come out on feeling that the unrest of the people and trying to act on that. And that was the beginning. So, yes, it's true that Joshua was arrested in the beginning of the uprising and actually had to leave the country, which was, of course, a bit of a challenge to the film. The protagonist leaves the stage, but we then realized that seeing the whole thing from his viewpoint in a safe house in Thailand was very interesting because he tried to connect to his friends.
He was speaking constantly with his colleagues back in Burma on by cell phone, by computer, and trying to indeed coordinate their activities and experiencing the roller coaster of events. There is an extraordinary moment in the film, this is when the monks finally join the protests. They start going from being relatively small onesie-twosies into being thousands, then tens of thousands, and we're going to listen to a chant that they have during their march through the city of through the big city, and let's play it. I'm going to explain what they're saying. May all the beings living to the east, all beings of the universe, be free. Free from fear, free from all distress, free from poverty. May they have peace in their hearts. And Anders Ostergaard, I think that's the best demonstration chant I've ever heard.
Yeah, isn't it?
It's an extraordinary moment.
It is a very true and moving moment, and because even though they're actually just expressing, if you like, Buddhist generalities about how you should lead your life and about the wish for peace and harmony, it's actually very precise about what people need and what's not enough, what there's not enough of in Burma. So it was a very strong political statement in that context.
And almost any statement in Burma, we find out, is strongly political. The idea of the monks holding their bowls upside down so they would not accept alms from the generals, a very powerful statement.
Yeah, exactly, because it's you know, traditionally the leaders of this country are supporters of sponsors of the monks, and then there's an understanding between the king and the monks. But this time around, they say that's enough, not anymore.
And of course, there is that moment that almost giddy demonstration through the streets of Rangoon, and people feel that at that moment anything can happen, that it's over, that in a way they have won. Yet, of course, that's not the way it turned out.
No, unfortunately not. As we all know, there was a crackdown, and the whole thing ended. Actually, within a week, it was all over. But there was a moment of true liberation of the minds, if you like, liberation from the fear that has been ruling this whole people for so long.
And this story, these, you call them video journalists, and indeed they are. They're reporters, but they're not journalists by, I guess, a Western definition. These are activists. They are working for the overthrow of the government.
Yeah, it's a very motley crew, actually, of amateurs, semi-professionals, and people who had a background in the professional press in Burma who just simply swifted sight along the way. So it's a motley crew, you could say. Yes, they are activists and journalists at the same time.
And one question, then we'll get to the callers, and that is there are some scenes that are recreated for the purposes of this documentary. That's always a tricky part.
Yeah, it always needs a lot of deliberation and thought to can you do that and how should you do that. I felt with this particular project, it was very important in order to tell the reporter's own story to do that reenactment. Mind you, there was a lot of thing we couldn't follow at the time because it would be too much of a security hazard to the people involved, and we were simply forced to reenact it later on if we were to tell their story.
Wouldn't it not have been fair to the viewer to say in those scenes a little caption, reenactment?
Well, we chose to make a disclaimer, if you like, in the beginning of the film, making it clear that reenactment is part of the film. I felt aesthetically it would be too disturbing to have a blinking ass or something like that in the screen. That's a discussion. You can debate that. I think it's not cinematic to do, but that's a personal point of view.
All right, let's get some callers on the line. Our guest is Anders Ostergaard, his film nominated for Best Documentary Feature. We'll find out who wins on Sunday. Burma VJ reporting from a closed country. And Ciara is joining us on the line from Sacramento.
Hi, how's it going?
Very well, thanks.
Good, Andres. It's wonderful to be talking to someone that does such awesome work with a closed country. But my question is, what role is the younger generation playing, the students? What kind of a role is this playing, and how is it affecting them to be living in a closed country like Burma?
It's a very interesting question because I know Joshua is the main character, is 28 by now, but he was worried about those who were even younger, those in the early 20s, because they never saw anything else than the regime. They were too young to have experienced 88, which was the previous big uprising, to know really about Aung San Suu Kyi and all that. So he thought that they were a lost generation. And one of the most uplifting things for him, to having been through that, was to see this younger generation coming along. As this reporter's network broke down, they have been able to recruit 80 new reporters, and they are mostly from this so-called lost generation, who simply discovered politics, who realized that there's something they could do.
So the agency is open and operating today?
Yes, absolutely, more than ever, actually.
Thank you, Ciara. Appreciate the phone call.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Let's go next to, this is Terry. Terry with us from Brewstertown in Tennessee.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Mr. Ostergaard, is there any contact point for information or for helping the situation in Burma information-wise?
Well, first of all, there's a wonderful organization totally devoted to the issue called the Burma Campaign. I believe it's the U.S. Burma Campaign, and you find Burma Campaign organizations in all, most Western countries. You can also, of course, join Amnesty International for the broader human rights issue. Otherwise, I encourage people to study the phenomenon of citizen journalism, which is appearing not only in Burma but also recently in Iran and other places. And my film is also a tribute to that, actually.
Interesting that in Iran recently they adopted the same tactic they eventually adopted in Burma to shut down the internet, the devices that supply the internet, so they couldn't communicate. Terry, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much.
Bye bye. Let's go to, this is Spencer with us from Cedar Rapids.
Hey there. Great to be on, and just want to congratulate the director on the nomination. I was fortunate enough to see the documentary a year ago. Really powerful stuff.
Thank you.
Where did you see it, Spencer?
I saw it at the True False Film Festival in Columbia.
Right, wonderful festival. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It actually just went back there last weekend for this year's edition. But and that sort of brings me to my point. If it weren't for that festival and that I went to college in that town, I never would have seen this documentary. Mm. And I would have been like most of the people out there looking at the nominations for Best Documentary and been like, well, what's the point? Why do I care? You know, and I'm wondering, is the role of the documentary in our entertainment culture, is it growing, or what needs to happen for it to grow, for more people to see these pieces? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks for the call, Spencer.
Well, first of all, I cannot claim to be an expert on U.S. media, the U.S. media landscape. I can only speculate upon how things can develop here. I think documentary has had almost a golden age, actually, recently, starting with Michael Moore, but also followed up by a lot of other strong titles. An Inconvenient Truth also had a huge impact, as far as I know, in this country. And so I'm very optimistic about the scene in general. Of course, we don't have the marketing budgets that the big theatrical features will have, and this is very much uphill for us. I mean, the production company who made this film are literally just three people trying to keep up with the demand and the interest in this film, which is exhausting us all. But and that's very much very often how documentaries are made, by very small units with very low budgets. But we also see that interest is picked up, and generally I'm optimistic about it.
To see the trailer for Burma Vijay, you can go to our website. Our web producer, Sarah Handel, has also put together clips from all the other nominees for Best Documentary Feature. You can see them all at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Our guest is Anders Ostergaard, the director of Burma Vijay, reporting from a closed country. And here's an email from Molly. Are the identities of the reporters kept secret for their safety? And if not, is there a chance that the Vijays will be prosecuted?
Yes, obviously their names are kept secret for their safety. They have several nom de guerre, several names which they apply. And actually we had, apart from their normal cover names, we had special cover names for this film just to make extra sure. And that's just what you need to do if you want to operate in a regime like the Burmese. It's a very real problem. And even in Thailand, where many of them work, Joshua is now in exile in Thailand, even there he's not really safe. It's packed with Burmese intelligence trying to figure out what he's up to.
And indeed, at the end of the film, we find out that three of his VJs were arrested inside Burma and could be tried and could face life sentences for their work.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And even if you get only 20 years, you cannot be sure to survive those 20 years because of the conditions in those prisons.
Let me ask you, were talking about the difficulties of making this film even on a low budget. How did you get financing? We see it's sponsored by HBO Films in this country, and there's an alphabet soup of different national agencies I guess, paid a little bit.
Well, it tells you a bit about how documents are made in Europe anyway. It can only be done by fully pre-financing the film through the broadcasters in Germany, UK, Scandinavia, and so forth. Nobody will come in and invest money as capital into a documentary, at least in most cases, not a political film like this. So we spend a lot of time trying to gather finances from all kinds of sources, and I think we have something like 15 or 18 investors in this film.
But that is only after the film is made. They say, good picture, we'll show it.
that's the upside, that you never know what happens afterwards.
Afterwards, yes. Nevertheless, I think to be eligible for the Academy Award, the film has to have been in theatrical release.
And so it was. It has been traveling across the States, as in many other countries. So, yes, we fulfill those.
You fulfill that requirement. Well, obviously, you wouldn't have been ineligible if not. Can you tell us, though, with your three-person office, what is your next project? Or do you devote everything onto this film until, well, it's exhausted its theatrical run and you've marketed it to every broadcaster you can possibly sell it to, and then see if you win some awards?
To tell you the truth, I've been totally tied up with this film ever since it was released back in November 2008. I guess I normally would try to move on and leave the film to itself and move on with the next project. But the thing here is that this is a political thing. This is a big move we can make for Burma. And of course, it's a privilege just to work with that. So that's what I decided to do, to spend that time and not speculate too much about the next project.
It's interesting that all of the films nominated for the Academy Award, at least this year, for documentary feature, are all political films. Mm. They are all about causes. Is that a way that some people get funding for their movies?
I wouldn't know. I mean, I couldn't say if this coincidence or whether it's a trend. I guess it's in vogue to talk about to be political in your films, and that goes for fiction as well as documentaries, actually, as I see it. So. In that way, it expresses a tendency, I guess. Personally, I don't consider myself an activist. I'm a filmmaker, and in the past I made films about rock music and European comics, and it's actually the story that drives me, the material that fascinates me and makes me make a film. It's not activism as such, and I would caution against equaling documentary filmmaking with activism as such. It would be a sad thing if that's what it's all about.
And the film should win. We've had other directors tell us not because of the cause, but because it's the best film.
Of course. I mean, otherwise she wouldn't really be proud of the award.
Anders Østergaard, thanks very much for being with us, and good luck on Oscar night.
Thank you. I'll need it.
Anders Østergaard, award-winning writer and director. He directed Burma Vijay, Reporting from a Closed Country, which is, as we mentioned, up for the Oscar for Best Documentary Feature. With us today from NPR West in Culver City, California. And again, if you want to see clips from all five of the nominated best features, you can go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Tomorrow, a little more on the Oscars. Best Picture, Leading Actress, hey, those are overrated. Visual effects, sound mixing, no, those are the categories where Oscar gets interesting. We'll look at the other Oscars. Murray Horwitz, our movie pal, will stop by. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.